Welcome back to the Adam Paradox Podcast. We need to talk about something that's happening in the culture recently, the work culture, called quiet quitting. The philosophy of quiet quitting is not abruptly leaving a job, but starting to do the minimum amount of possible work while keeping the job. And the main objective of this mindset is avoiding occupational burnout and paying more attention to one's mental health and personal well-being. Quiet quitting is considered to be the exact opposite of hustle culture, also known as grind culture, where one's career development and generating more income always comes first. Now, let's talk about that a little bit, because I'm having a little struggle accepting the definition for this term. Basically, if you do what is required of you at your job, you're considered to be a quitter because you're not doing more than what's required. You're not doing above and beyond work. You're not hustling like you're, you know, the owner of the company, the CEO, or the, I guess, bosses or managers or whatever. But I want to know, like, why is that the requirement when you work? Most of the time, when somebody hires an employee, they know that there's going to be a limited amount of motivation, which is why they have programs, which is why there are people that go, consultants and other motivators and therapists that go into companies to help with promotions and the mental health of the workplace, because the job can be stressful. And there's not much of anything we can do. And sometimes you do need to have healthy boundaries in place when it comes to the workplace. Or you'll find yourself in that position getting called in on Saturday or working on the weekends or the evenings. Now, I have a lot of experience in this area. Part of my history of education and part of my master's in psychology was talking about workplace toxicity. So when I hear this, I kind of can't help but feel there is a standard being put on American culture specifically to work even harder. In other words, throw away the work-life balance and just work harder. Even though studies have shown that if you were to have worked a shorter amount of time, let's say 5 to 6 hours, the productivity will be that equal to 8 hours, even with a minimal break. So if you work people longer, sometimes 8 to 10 hours, 12 hours a day, you know, some people do have those shifts, especially if you're in a manufacturing position. The burnout rate is a lot higher, so you end up working slower during the workday. Now, something needs to be understood here. This isn't like school where it's pass or fail or you have grades. But you always know, you knew someone, maybe it was you, or maybe it was someone you knew, that did the C work. Oh, I got a C. I'm good. I passed. And then you knew the ones that did the A. And then there was always that asshole that raised their hand at the end of class and asked more questions and kept everybody, and you just wanted to not do more work and go home. So what are they really trying to do here? Are they exploiting people that work hard? Are they trying to frown upon the people that just do the average amount of work? Now, competition is something that we need to have in the workplace. There's a little bit of competitiveness because that is what drives promotion, increases standards, and stuff like that. But not everybody's going to achieve those standards. So what the opposite side of that, or the opposing balance of, you know, these things. Every time something new comes into place, there's a balance to it. And there's always a payoff in different variables. So even though it sounds like this might be a new good trend, you know, hey, work harder, you know, try to move up in your company, there's something else here. Those people that tend to do better and outperform everybody in the workplace are also targeted by every other person who's incompetent in the workplace. Well, because they want to move up too. They are trying really hard. And they just may not have the haven't figured out just quite yet how to do that. And that's based on upbringing. That's based on previous history. Sometimes some people just can't wrap their brain around something, and that's okay. It takes a few more explanations, a little bit more training, a little bit more practice. But for some people, things just come really naturally, done the first time. Now, I got to throw out a thing to She-Hulk, because it bugged the hell out of me that they did this in the new show She-Hulk, that she just all of a sudden masters the whole dual bipolar personalities of Jekyll and Hyde, or, you know, the Hulk and Bruce Banner. It's like, well, women can just do it first time. Now, this does happen in the real world, where somebody comes into a job where everyone else has spent probably years or a really long time trying to learn how to do something, and they just pick it up, do it within, you know, fraction of the time. And that's very upsetting for the people that worked really, really hard. So again, those people that work above and beyond at a place, in a business, you know, as an employee, it really becomes, it can become toxic. You can become a target. And I'm not saying that that's not part of the payout. That is, you work really hard, you become a target. Now you're not just working really hard for the job, you're also fighting against all the rumors and anybody that is trying to sabotage you. It's very competitive. We got to get out of the mindset that in our history, that everything was just handed to us. Everything was just normal. That you could just go to work and just focus on the job. Now, I wish that was the culture, because honestly, all this other BS about like who's saying what and who's in this position, who's working harder and who's comparing to who, it's just shit. I mean, you know, but in history, it's always been like this. We've always had to fight for our positions. We'll always have opposition. We have to learn to work through those. That's the hardest thing, I think, that in a skill that we're not necessarily taught. You're taught to just do what you're told, don't talk back, stuff like that. But I think if we learn how to have an argument, and I don't mean argument as in the fighting version, okay? Everyone hears argument and they think there's a negative connotation to it. An argument is simply an opposing opinion. And I think if we learn how to have those, how to develop a strong, healthy argument, a lot of things can go a lot better for us. For instance, I'll give you an example. I create a lot of arguments on social media and with people I talk to. One of the things that kind of show the hand, and I've explained this before in previous podcasts, that expose a loss. Like, there's no more argument. There's no more, you know, info as to what makes that argument true or what argues that argument is this. When they start using credentials, and it may not even have any correlation to what your argument is even about. You know, hey, so-and-so, I know this and this and this. I know the law states this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then they go, well, I, you know, have a degree in this from here. Okay, great. Cool. Has nothing to do with our argument. Another one is, you know, are you questioning me? I have a degree from here. So I, you know, anything I say basically has to be right. You know, there's those kind of arguments, and they're very hard to combat, but you don't have to have a degree or credential to know these things. And everyone needs to realize degrees and credentials. You know, like when you go get a master's degree, like I have in psychology, it's basic. The most that I have learned is from experience out in the field. And the most that I have learned through college and stuff was the basics. And that goes for doctors too, by the way. Now, the one thing different about certain doctors is they do have a very extensive training basically as part of their degree before they can officially become a doctor and all that. So there is a little difference there. You know, take it with a grain of salt. A little bit different play. So let's talk a little bit more about this quiet quitting. Is it okay? Is this the correct term? I mean, if you're doing what's required of you at a job, in other words, you're creating healthy boundaries. I'm not letting my job interfere with some of my goals in life. It's a job. You don't have the invested interest as the CEO does or the owner or anything like that. Do I think we can do a little bit extra? Sure. You know, you take pride in your work. Be proud, right? That's where you can do a little bit of extra to achieve. But I think this, what is going to end up happening is a lot of people, because they take information that they hear, trends that they hear, a lot of people parrot. Look at my previous podcast where I talk about parroting. A lot of people parrot what they hear. What does that mean? That means they repeat what they hear, thinking that's, you know, how you know stuff. When you get out of the trend of just reading something and taking it at face value and you question everything you read, how do they know that? How do they figure that out? How did someone figure it out for the very first time? That's the questions you need to ask. That's how you get into critical thinking. That's how you get past being a parrot, you know, repeating information that you hear. Now, does that always mean the information's wrong? No. But how well do you know that information you're hearing? I hear things all the time and I go, you know, that's a really good quote, or that makes a heck of a lot of sense. But then there's context, there's variables, there's other things. How did they figure that out? How do they know that? And I just go back as far as I can and understand anything that I hear as best I can. And when I don't do that, I end up catching myself being wrong about things more often. And it's like, fuck, like I made a mistake. So you got to get in the habit of kind of saying, hey, I don't know enough about that. This is my opinion at the moment. That could change. Or just be very brief about your comment. I don't know enough, but it sounds, you know, interesting. Or it sounds, I don't know, whatever. You guys get what I'm saying. So let's go to, and of course, I've been doing Reddit stories. So don't worry. We got a Reddit story. I'm quiet quitting. This is very fresh. This stuff is not that old, I don't think. I mean, I don't know when it came out. All I know is when, especially it's TikTok, I don't know who made the viral video, but I feel like when there's these really weird trends and new terms to redefine something. Now, here's what I think quiet quitting is. I'll tell you this before I read it. I would think quiet quitting is literally doing C work, which is even below what you're supposed to be doing for your job. Longer breaks, longer lunches, calling it, taking all your sick days when you're not even sick, which, you know, whatever, right? But would you have taken them if your job was, you know, not that bad, if people were a little bit more supportive? So, you know, what ends up happening psychologically is we get burnout. And it's not from the job itself. Most of us are fine with the job. It's everybody else. It's everybody else. It's your coworkers. It's your bosses. It's your supervisors. It's their bosses. And it's the cohesion. How do things flow at work? Are they creating extra emails? Are they saying, thanks, you're welcome. You're welcome too. Have a great day. You too. Oh, yep, see you next weekend. Yeah, you too. Whatever. The back and forth. Is your inbox filling up with like 1,000 emails a day? Is it creating extra work? Are you not able to get the work you're supposed to get done because they're creating much more work? Is someone else just not doing what they need to, which creates a problem? Then you're trying to solve that problem to fix their mistake, but they don't want to admit that mistake. So then you're trying to just sort out the confusion, rather than just doing your job. And again, I have experience with this. My previous job, I worked with a lot of people in a lot of different schools in a lot of different areas. And I tell you what, there's a lot of back and forth, and then there's things that just get lost in the mix when you're organizing things with that many people. But then when you go to work and you have coworkers stabbing you in the back, talking behind your back to the boss, saying things that weren't even true because you are trying to go above and beyond. Or when they say your traveling has nothing to do with how much productivity you're getting done. That's a bit of a personal issue, but I'll get into that later. So, quiet quitting. This article was published on August 19th by the National NPR. What is quiet quitting and how it may be a misnomer for setting boundaries at work? Thought this one might be kind of interesting. Closing your laptop at 5 p.m., doing only your assigned tasks, spending more time with family. These are just some of the common examples used to define the latest workplace trend of quiet quitting. Some experts say it's a misnomer and should really be defined as carving out time to take care of yourself. I think we would agree. Ed Zitron, who runs a media consulting business for tech startups and publishes the labor-focused newsletter, Where's Your Ed At?, believes the term stems from companies exploiting their employees' labor and how these business benefits from culture over work without additional compensation. If you want people to go above and beyond, compensate them for it. Give them $200, pay them for extra work. Zitron told NPR over email, show them the direct path from I am going above and beyond to I am being rewarded for doing so. A TikTok video on quiet quitting posted in July. Okay, so here we go. We find out where it was. By ZK Chillin, now Zad Leplin, went viral. Many TikTok users shared their own experiences in response with quiet quitting, gaining 8.2 million views on the platform as of 4 p.m. Thursday. Quiet quitting doesn't actually involve quitting. Instead, it has been deemed a response to hustle culture and burnout. Employees are quitting, going above and beyond, and declining to do tasks they are not being paid for. Now, this falls in the line with a lot of basic behaviors and rewards, and this also falls into another expertise of mine. If you're not being rewarded for the behavior that you have and are showing and the energy you put in, you tend to not want to do it. At my previous job, the same thing happened. I put in all the work I could. I worked off the clock. I did things that, you know, I took pride in my work. And it was for the clients. It was for the job. I cared about if the company made money, because if they make money, I should be making more money. But when it comes in that you're still not doing enough, you're still not doing well, and you make your arguments, like for me, I had too much travel time, which took away from time with the clients because I was going really far to see them. But that wasn't being considered. So I was given the same standard across the board, which is why equality doesn't work. Doesn't make any fucking sense. Equity does. And so I said, well, you know, my standard should be lowered a little bit because I'm traveling a lot to see some of these clients, 45 minutes here, 45 minutes there. I was traveling on average 3 to 4 hours in a 10-hour workday. So my hours did not always add up. Plus, you have to account, that's just drive time. That's not time to do notes, time to do clerical work, answer emails. Anything else, get gas, get lunch, get food. I wasn't taking a lunch. I was eating through lunch or working through lunch almost every day. And the only time I got a break, and I did take it. So am I a quiet quitter? But, you know, you can make the argument that I was a quiet quitter because there were times where if someone canceled, it's like I can't get anyone to answer and it's 8 a.m. So I took that time. Usually it was to catch up on emails and other things. and there were times I never got ahead. I was getting 20, 30 emails a day. So this is a Reddit. You know, I've been continuing that Reddit trend of reading off stories on Reddit. Quiet quitting is okay. This was posted 4 days ago by Metalhead Planner. I started at a new company in May as head of 5 departments. And I told my staff I don't want them to work OT because I want them to have a good work-life balance. I don't care about paying OT. It's really only for work-life balance. Since then, quiet quitting has been trending. Is it bad that if my staff join the quiet quitting trend going on, I'm not mad about it, or but kind of encourage it? Don't get me wrong. I want my team to do their work accurately, on time, and have it be done with quality. However, my expectations are the minimum, and anything above that is their prerogative. From my experience as an employee and a manager, going above and beyond consistently leads to burnout and doesn't always lead to promotions. And people get paid the same, whether they work the minimum or go above and beyond. I think that's a very valid argument, because it's not in a job description to go above and beyond. It's requested. You want people to be motivated and proud of their work. But that sounds like a writing issue on the management's part. You know, the expectations of the job. We want you to do more regardless of how much you get paid. Not a very good selling point. And I guarantee you, you probably wouldn't get a lot of people applying for your company. Yes, those who go above and beyond may have more of a chance to grow with the company because they take the initiative and want to grow with the company. But some people just want to clock in and out for 8 hours and keep a routine job. If they are doing the job well but don't want to get promoted, they shouldn't be penalized for that. I had a job where we pushed people to progress in the company, and if there was resistance on their end, they were penalized, and I hate that. That's happened to me too. I've been in that spot. I've been in those positions. There's no promotion, or the people that you think should be promoted, because I also am one of those people that, as a coworker, I recognize when my coworkers work hard and should be in a better position or should be in that other position. And they don't get offered it. It's not the direction of the company. They're also the same people that stab you in the back. But you know what? I know when people do that, it's like any bully. They're usually having the same issues themselves. As an executive level manager, is my thinking bad for the overall business operations? Or am I correct in the employees are happy, they'll produce better work and stay longer? I think you're more right on your last opinion there. I don't think you should expect your employees to work as hard as you do. And, you know, I heard this before and I had to look it up. It was one of my favorite quotes, and it's one of the things where it's like, yeah, you can't expect everybody, your employees, to do as much work as you do. And that came from Gary Vaynerchuk. If you haven't listened to him, he has a YouTube, and he has like pretty much every social media out there, but it's at Gary V. Check it out. I'm going to play a clip real quick of him talking about this from his YouTube, the Gary V video experience.
Jay, I do not expect any of my employees to work as hard as I do, because it's not their business. And I get so mad at so many of you that get mad at employees that don't work as hard as you. They shouldn't. Like, why in the world would they? Now, there's plenty of employees here that know that I value hard work and hustle, and they know they'll be rewarded within the context. But no, I do not expect anybody to work harder than me. And I think one of the quickest ways for a business to fail is to have an employee working harder than you. And let me break that down. So many of you think you make it and then you get the chill. And then what, you expect everybody underneath you to work hard to sustain? Nobody cares that you worked your ass off for 15 years to get to this point. They know that you're sailing right now and like fishing and like hanging out with your boyfriend on the beach for a month, and you're supposed to hold it up. Why? Because they worked hard for 15 years? What about them? People have their own vested interests. And if you're not outworking them, and you know, as a matter of fact, never. Like, I have to work so hard to create an infrastructure that can allow me to even have the audacity to have people to want to work with me for a long time. The only way I can even expect all of them to work with me for a long time like I want them to is that I create such a big thing that they can make the monies and have the challenges, both get the monetary values they want, the work-life balance and the money they want to take home, and do things that are interesting and creative and challenging and not the same thing. The only way I can do that is to build the biggest thing possible, which means I have to outwork them to have the to have the wants and needs and audacity to have people to work for me. Talented people to work for me. People that can really move the needle. So, no, it doesn't change my opinion. As a matter of fact, I hope, and I know a lot of you are watching right now at Vayner, I hope that I'm creating something that allows hundreds of them to have a 9 to 6, not 9 to 5, a 9 to 6, 45 to 50 hour kind of job that pays them enough to be happy and gives them plenty of hours to be on the bowling team or knit or work on their music on the side or come home for dinner every night. Like, no, I do not judge them, because if they wanted to be exactly like me, or if they wired like me, or had the ambition like me, or the talent like me, they'd be doing it for themselves, as they should. And I want that for them.
Okay, so let's look at some of the comments on that Reddit post that we previously listened to. Firstly, I don't think quiet quitting is a helpful term when actually discussing whether it's acceptable. It's faddy and imprecise. It is a fad. What does it mean? What are they actually doing? Because I've seen the term applied to anything from pretending to be working but not actually doing anything to showing up to work and basically doing the job but emotionally detaching from it, to refusing to work extra hours or take on more responsibility without appropriate compensation. Now, let's dissect that a little bit, because there's a lot of things mentioned in there that brought a lot of thoughts to mind. You know, you got to realize that your employees, especially in a large company, are going to be very diverse. Very diverse personalities. Now, I don't care for diversity when it comes to culture and, like, you know, where you come from type of diversity. And the reason for that is because everybody comes from somewhere. But the culture of the workplace, everybody needs to basically gel. Y'all need to get along, or it's going to be just a toxic workplace. So when I hear people argue we need more diversity, I kind of think that's a very, very floppy argument. What there is, though, is a diversity of personalities. And when you have those different personalities is when you're going to have differences in work ethic and work, what it looks like. You might have one that works better by socializing. If they feel there's a camaraderie in the office environment, they tend to work better. They socialize a little bit. They get more of the work done in the spurts of time they actually sit at their desk. But then you have some that only work better if there's no one around, and they can go for 3 to 4 hours at a time, just, you know, blasting through work, and it doesn't even feel like 3 to 4 hours. The hard part is not everybody is like that. So you have to give them a little flexibility. And you do have people that get a job that they're not interested in going above and beyond. Sorry about the dog in the background. They're not interested about going above and beyond. They don't want to move their way up. It's just a job. And that shouldn't be wrong. You hire most people because of the task or minimum work needed. Now, when you have a team of people like the Power Rangers that go above and beyond and do more than what is necessarily possible and continue to get the same crappy, there was no pay. I don't think Power Rangers got paid. I honestly don't know how they managed a job, their crime fighting abilities, and, you know, fighting the monsters, and were able to, you know, have all those fancy gadgets. And I just don't get it. I don't think it works out, but they did. So I have no idea where I was going with that, but just a fun side tangent there. But I do think that you got to consider the different personalities in a workplace. And I think what ends up happening is you get that one person that wants to work really, really hard, and they put down everyone else. And sometimes that's your manager, right? It all comes down from the top somehow. Continuing, my attitude as a leader is basically you work your contracted hours. Any overtime is repayable in TOIL. Time, I don't know what toil is. And I don't expect you to be available evenings and weekends, etc., without prior arrangement. If I need you to consistently do more work or take on more responsibility, then we have a conversation about remuneration. Throwing in big words, dude, like, totally unnecessary. In exchange for that, when you are in work, I expect you to show up, put the effort in, and be a team player. I think that's a fair agreement. Yeah, be a team player. I threw that around once, and everyone looked at me and just went, fuck you. So careful when you throw that one around in meetings. Like, hey, I'm just being a team player. And because you're going to find there's a lot of cutthroat people out there, and they don't like that, and they don't want to be a team player. Someone replied, when you are in work, that's based on the assumption we ever go into an office consistently again. Reasonably certain I will never do that again, spending time commuting to an office building day after day to sit there simply to keep a chair warm, because it makes some 40-year-old MBA who couldn't hack engineering dropout feel powerful. Note from over 20-year military perspective, I've yet to meet anyone in a corporation role who had any clue what real leadership is. I don't really fully disagree with that, because you get a lot of people that get promoted because they are cutthroat. My thesis was on the workplace sociopath and how they will literally destroy your career for their gain. They don't care what happens to you or your family. They don't care how that affects it. And so it's assassination of character. And these are the people that look like they're doing great work. They're doing so well. They take credit for your work. And then they trash you. They trash talk you. And they get, and then there's like the population of people that hear and see all that, and they have to side with the person because they don't want it to happen with them. So they side with the person causing all this bullying and toxicity and sociopathy, et cetera, in the workplace. Boomers and Gen Xers created the micro-dosing economy of services, Airbnb, Uber, etc. This is a turnaround in work. If something needs to be done, I will make it happen. However, if I don't, that's free time I'm scheduling for something else. If you want my schedule at your demand or want the ability to monopolize my time, sure, we can have a conversation. It's likely double pay now to make up for labor losses and salary the last 40 years. Industry has reaped the gains in productivity and slowly sapped away the entire work-life balance for an entire generation. Now we're coming for what's due. Someone else responded, this is the first comment I've come across that points out that quiet quitting can mean different things, some worth celebrating and some problematic. See, I agree. I encourage direct reports in non-exempt roles to leave at 5 p.m. I encourage direct reports to stay within the confines of their job. But that's not what I'm seeing as quiet quitting in real life. I'm seeing people just decide that collaboration or being a team player isn't part of their job, even though it is 100% necessary to be successful in their role, or be totally disconnected from their work, just box checking tasks with no strategic thinking, innovation, or engagement, or just not give a shit about putting out mediocre work riddled with mistakes, or claim they're swamped but produce so little and respond so slowly that it's obvious they spend half their waking fucking hours, days napping. WFH? I don't know. I get that people are burnt out and frustrated. They're entitled to be. And checking out for a few months while you job hunt or recover from burnout is fine. But people who work like this for months on end deserve to be put on a PIP and move toward termination. They can bring down entire team cultures and make workplaces even more miserable. The work they should be doing has to go somewhere, and it just goes on to managers and colleagues and perpetuates a cycle of burnout. I argue it's a selfish and shitty decision. Okay, so I agree to some things and I disagree, okay? I agree that if you are not putting in your effort and creating more problems, that's going to take down a team, a company, whatever. But I think it also identifies an issue. Why are people burnt out? Is it more than one? Is it one person that's burnt out? If it's more than one person, then there's an issue inside the company and the manager isn't seeing it. Now, I've seen a lot of leaders not recognize that. And it took one other individual to say something. And that one individual is the one who gets targeted. So then their life becomes miserable, even though they were brave enough to say something. And that's that group mentality where everybody jumps on board. Monkey see, monkey do, I guess. I don't know if that really makes sense, but 1948. Anyone? Groupthink? There we go. That was the term, groupthink. That's what I've been trying to say. So groupthink is what happens in an office culture when one person is being picked on, and it becomes a physical display in front of everybody else. And this has happened to me. So if it's not being identified by the manager, if it's not being called out, you know, and addressed, this quiet quitting term is really a demeaning, condescending term. And it's very poorly defined. It's very loosely defined. And anything left up to interpretation is bound for a lot of negative repercussions. I mean, like I said, quiet quitting would be like, there's nothing reason why you wouldn't work hard at the job you were assigned to, but are only doing the work enough just to get a C. And if you don't fit out for that company, most real strong business owners that know good leadership will set it up, you know, that, hey, I'm going to give you 3 more weeks, you know, let me know what you need so we can help you get on task with your job. I'd like, you know, and you put the time in, you invest, and you help out that employee get to par. And you leave it open. You create an environment to where they'll eventually come up to you and go, hey, I'm not a fit for this job. I really don't like it. You know, I'm out. And that means that the manager doesn't have to do any firing. I would think that would be a better way to handle it. So when we look at work culture and we hear this term quiet quitting, I think we're going to be in a lot of world of trouble here, and this is going to look like the cancel culture, hashtag me too, and all those where it's just a very loose definition. And you're going to see culture change when people get back to work. And maybe this is a counter where we've been home for 2 years working from home, and now everybody's like, oh, you got to come back to the office. And they're like, no, I'm going to create this term quiet quitting because I'm somebody who's working really hard, going above and beyond, and no one's recognizing me. So I'm going to lash out, basically. And you might have heard the term quiet firing in also terms of quiet quitting. And that's where they don't give you enough work. They don't promote you. And I'm like, all this has already been out there in the world, and they're creating a new term for it. I see this being very dangerous because it's going to affect the mental health of people going into the workplace where there's already anxiety and stress. And I don't know why, you know, we don't treat ourselves as humans. We act like if our work tells us we got to come in on Saturday and we're like, no, I'm not doing that, well, then I'm going to let you go. Like, I think that's bullshit, because if it's not in the, you know, description, then yeah, you know, that is something, I don't know, like, kind of BS. Because we're not slaves. But, you know, I mean, they're kind of making it like a workplace is a slave place. Bottom line, and that's probably a hard comment there that I'll regret later, but the bottom line is we need to talk about these, and it's not always going to be easy. Someone else said, I find the quiet quitting outrage crazy. I want my people to work while they're there, but I don't want my people to work if they're not being paid for it. I actively encourage my team to shut off for the day when they're off work. I don't expect people to answer emails on their lunch break, never on vacation, and I would only contact people outside of work hours if it was an unavoidable emergency that I can't figure out myself. Know why? I want all of those things. I want to get my work done while I'm there, but try not to stress about anything when I'm off the clock. Nobody is volunteering here out of goodness of their heart. I work to make money for my life. It's not my life. I agree. I mean, that is essentially what I've been trying to say a lot simpler. And if you want I mean, there's little things you can do for motivation, support, morale boosting in a workplace that doesn't cost money. When you see companies doing a lot of things like, oh, we're giving out gift cards, we're giving out additional money under the table, we're bringing in pizza, bringing in breakfast, because somebody told them at a seminar or at some convention that this was the way to build morale in the company, the little things, but it all costs money. You know what people really value is their time. And if you give them that, their time, benefits, time to request off, hey, can I request this weekend off, and no shit about it? Oh, I got a story for you. So I was working graphic design back in 2018 for a fashion design firm. And I needed a day off to attend a wedding. It was my friend's wedding. And I, you know, let him know a month ahead in advance. It was on a Friday. And I said, hey, I'm going to need this day off. I'm shooting a wedding. You know, there shouldn't be any issues. And they go, well, we'll see. I never received a reply back. Hey, am I cleared for this? Am I cleared? Am I cleared? And I said, you know what? I got to take this day off. I'm doing it. Like, I wasn't getting any response. And at that point, I was pretty much done with the company. Now, I worked really hard. I got the most work done out of the company and made everybody else kind of look really slow. But I was really good at what I do. So that morning, I'm getting ready to attend this wedding, getting dressed up, slicking my hair. I think I had slicked hair then, but I'm just making myself look like I need to look. And I get a call and they said, we're letting you go. No write-ups, no nothing. I mean, they were creating scenarios that like anyone could have been in trouble for. The whole group team could have been in trouble, but they singled me out and said I was in trouble for it. So they were trying to build a case to let me go. Like I was a bad employee. Like I was quiet quitting and I wasn't. So I got let go that day. Crazy, right? Anyways, side story. Moving on. Another person says, I am a manager as well, and I also find value in staff who show up consistently and simply do the job they are paid to do and do it well on a daily basis. These are the ones I know I can rely on the most. I know exactly what to expect from them, and they deliver. There are others who tend to overperform, but their quality of work is inconsistent because they will work until burnout and then end up calling out, needing mental health days. The culture is encouraged in my industry, and it's maddening. The company I work for allows unlimited overtime. I wish I could get unlimited overtime. Sure, but at least I won't regret working those long hours. I will just go meh and shrug it off as transactional. Also, when belts get tightened, those overperformers may get pruned too. It's no guarantee that they won't. And that's true. So what ends up happening... Now, I don't mind working a job until it's done, but burnout is terrible. And if you don't know about burnout, you will. Everybody will. I mean, that's how our industry is set up. For instance, I don't know why our work week can't be compressed down to 32 hours. Who determined 40 hours was the standard work week? Why is it not 32? Why can't we get the same pay for 40 hours as 32 hours? You know, or I'm sorry, the same pay for 32 hours as 40 hours. I kind of think that if we had a better work-life balance where it didn't take up most of our day, tire us out so much, you know, if we can enjoy our jobs, we tend to have better lives overall. The hard part is working with other people because everyone has different backgrounds, different personalities, and the people that end up getting to the top are usually the ones you don't want to promote anyways. But they're also the ones that get the work done. And that's kind of a double-edged sword, a balance, you know, to the universe. You can't have good without the bad. You can't have dark without the light. You know, or well, I guess you can have dark without the light. You can't have light without the dark. You know what I mean. I know you know what I mean. You guys are smart. So, is quiet quitting a reasonable concept? I don't think so. Anti-work Redditors say quiet quitting really means just doing your job. This is by Bloomberg, by Joe Constance, published August 23rd. Don't call it quiet quitting. That's the battle cry from a growing chorus of voices on social media, including anti-work on Reddit, a subreddit for work grievances that counts more than 2 million members. Redditors on the forum argue that calling the phenomenon any variety of quitting implies employees are acting badly, when in reality, the viral term simply means fulfilling the job description and setting healthy boundaries. Posters on anti-work, which took off during the pandemic with the motto "Unemployment for all, not just the rich," blame the media for frenzied coverage of a concept that should be considered the norm. Not a scandalous new trend, others see the new catchphrase as a tool employers may use against employees for not doing more work than their contract and level compensation stipulates. So you see right there that it's also adding the balances. We got the good, we got the bad, what all the different kind of variables that could happen. Memorable expressions have cachet. Though, and so the race is on to coin the winning replacement, one of the most commonly suggested act your age, there's also quiet firing. When bosses make their workers' lives miserable but stop short of actually firing them, the internet has been flooded with explanations and debates about so-called quiet quitting, the new buzzword for doing your job as described. Enthusiasts describe the mentality as a stealth retreat from the hustle culture that dominated the pre-pandemic era. Now, I also want to throw out this hustle, right? A lot of things have changed in the world. For instance, eBay. A lot of people used to be able to sell on eBay, but now they're targeting the casual sellers, calling them a risk to the community of eBay, and indefinitely suspending their accounts. It's getting really hard to hustle these days. And there's a lot of scammers. There's a lot of people coming in that are not honest, that are not being truthful. And if you want to sell on a local site, you know, like Facebook Market or whatever, what ends up happening is these scammers come in and then it just creates a bad experience. And it's sketchy. And it's tied to who you actually are. Whereas, you know, when you're doing eBay, you can have an eBay store and you're just a store. So there's a lot of reasons why the hustle culture has kind of diminished a little bit. But we've also created a culture or environment of people that don't want to go back into the office because we found how much can be done at home. Pretty much the same work. Now that's not for everybody. Some people have to go out and have to socialize in order to get the work done. Some of us just like to be in our routine. And I turned into one of those people. I tell you what, I will work with anybody. I can put up with a lot. Things don't bother me. Like, it used to. Things don't bother me like it does others. As I'm constantly being told, I don't know how you do what you do. It's certain things don't bother me. Doesn't mean I don't think about it and go, if there was a job I could do where I don't have to worry about people, work with people in order to make money, I would do it. And I'm trying to figure that out right now. And so far I found nothing. However, I have found there are certain things you can do that don't rely so much on working with people to make the money, as far as, like, you know, in psychology, you have to actually work with the people hour for hour to make the money, etc. So I guess writers would kind of be one, but then you got to have people that like your stuff. So then you have to go talk to people to know what they like. Yeah. And it's difficult. But if we create a culture where no one has to work, no one has to socialize, no one has to interact, no one has to at least try and feel the struggle for a job, I get it. But then at the same time, we got to recognize in the workplace, if people don't want to work and aren't motivated, why? The internet has been flooded with explanations and debates about so-called quiet quitting. I read that. Pushback against the latest workplace buzzword is mounting. Commentary on Twitter has pointed out out how quiet quitting is a confused, flawed expression, which it is. They call it quiet quitting, but it's really just doing your job requirements during normal business hours. People deserve a good work-life balance, and not answering a work email at 10 p.m. isn't quitting. It's just being a normal human who has a life and sets healthy boundaries. I agree. That came from LinkedIn, actually, on Twitter. On TikTok, ChiniCo28 agrees that the term is problematic. The idea of quitting hustle culture and not going above and beyond is basically having a healthy work-life boundary. I just don't think that the term quiet quitting is an appropriate term for it because it sounds negative. She said in an interview, it's dangerous rather than empowering. Isn't it? But that's the way the world's been going. How do we shame people, create a new term, and make them feel bad for not doing more than what they're paid for? That's a socialism thing. That's Marxism. You know, do more work, do the same amount of work as the owner, and get the least amount of payout. So basically, go work at McDonald's, go work at a place that pays minimum wage, and be expected to work as hard as the owner. I don't even know how you would do that. I don't know how you would expect other people to do that for you. I mean, I think that's really pompous. The actual term itself is an unintentional, very revealing vocabulary choice about hustle culture in and of itself, she said in an interview. The term exposes the internal conflict people face when it comes to setting work-life boundaries. With quiet quitting, there's almost like a shame and people admitting it. Because if there wasn't, we wouldn't call it quiet quitting. Interesting. I like literally just said that. Is someone destroying, this came from Karen Koh again on Twitter. Is someone destroying themselves to exceed expectations, is meeting expectations, then quiet quitting is just making the manager or company aware of how much the organization is built on extracting labor that does not match pay, salary, or the initial job description. Fully agree. So I think we can safely conclude that quiet quitting is going to be a danger to our culture. It's a very scary term. It's going to cause a lot of misinterpretation. And anytime you have misinterpretation, much like the Bible, you can have anybody say anything they want and have a level of truth to it. But it's the people that are susceptible, gullible, that are going to believe it and believe the many different facets of it. And that's scary. We got to look into that. We got to make sure that we have a healthy boundary with our work, a healthy boundary with our family, a healthy boundary with our relationships. Boundaries. That doesn't mean you're making excuses for why you don't do something or why you don't want to do something. It just means there's a boundary. Hey, sorry, you know, I can only work 8 hours a day. That is it. When I'm off work, that is my time. If you want to pay me per email, if you want to pay me per this, then I'll make that my priority. But I also didn't sign up for it, or I don't agree to that. In other words, when you sign up for a job or anywhere you work, you are not signing up to sign all your time away. It's this job is 40 hours a week, not 45, not 46. Not 48, unless it says sometimes with, you know, pre-approved OT, overtime. That's the contract. But you'll see a lot of people overstep it, you know, and try to get you to work more of those hours every week. Or you feel you have to get those hours done because you'll get in trouble if something else. What they don't realize is that that is actually a breach of contract. Technically, it's illegal. And most companies feel they can do that because who's going to hold them accountable? Are you going to spend the time taking them to court? Are you going to spend the time, you know, writing the Better Business Bureau? Because retaliation can still occur whether or not it's supposed to. And it's a very tough position we're in. So there's not enough checks and balances in the workplace culture as we have it. So when you find a place with good work culture, with good bosses, good leadership, and they don't pay that much, You know, they don't pay as much as other companies, as other jobs. I tend to find that people that have stayed at those jobs, when it is good, take the low pay. Because where are you going to go where it's that good? And that's hard to find. So look at places with low turnover. When you find places with a high turnover, that's when you tend to find a lot of the existing issues. Look at reviews. Don't discredit some of those reviews. One of the ones about the place I worked at previously was, it's like a high school environment. Now, it didn't happen to me for the first about a year. Very shortly after that, after COVID was starting to let up a little bit, then it did. And I tell you what, no matter how hard you try to stay out of it, somebody made something up. They said something anyways. It's very hard to stay out of that stuff if they're just going to do that. Going to make it up. You're in it whether you like it or not. These are all very difficult things. And as we transition back to the workplace, I think we're going to find a lot more new difficulties. Jobs are harder to find. There's a lot out there, but there's a lot of people with two or three jobs. And I'm currently looking for my third. I don't want to. I shouldn't have to. But that's where we are. And until things change, that's just what we have to live with. I want to thank you for listening. I want your comments. I want your responses. If you want to record your comment and send it in to me asking a question or anything at all, do that. Find me on any of my services. Anchor.fm has the best way to record and send those messages, and I can easily click and drag them over into my recordings. Also, I'm looking for people to interview. If you have any bad experiences with churches, work, if you worked in a church, if you are having bad experiences with this quiet quitting culture, this is something I want to continue. And if you have any Reddit stories you want to send to my inbox, please send them. I'd be glad to read them over, give you my opinions. Maybe we can get other people to talk about it too and just kind of start a discussion. With that, have a great rest of the week. Work hard, but not too